And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number three is upon us. Kurt Rogers with our Monday Mortgage Minute. Kurt, how are you today?
I am doing just fine, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. There was an article that I read, actually it was on 9 News today, record-breaking October adds fuel to the Denver area home market.
It does. The actual, and we didn't think it'd get any less, but the actual amount of homes available for sale has decreased, and the day supply has gone to almost single digits.
And the median home price in Denver was $519,900, up 14%, almost 14.25% actually, from a year ago.
That is correct, and that's just because of homes that have appreciated. That's the market that is selling now because those are the ones available. There's a big demand for homes at the $300,000, but there's not enough of them out there.
No, as noticed, yeah, we're a record low for October of only 2,000 listings. Yeah. So that's a record low for our area. That's why prices keep going up, of course.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that normally don't like to sell their house in November and December and January, but with the prices the way they are, I'm getting some of my clients say, well, now might be the best time to maximize.
Yeah,
I
would agree. Normally it wouldn't be a great time. Normally this becomes kind of a downtime for the realtors and the real estate market in general until the first of the year hits because the holiday season typically isn't great. But I'm guessing this year that's not going to be the case.
No, we're not seeing it. Like I said, the supply keeps going down, and all it does is drive up the prices. So some people are thinking, I got a guy in my neighborhood. He's asking $50,000 more than he knows the house is worth, but he got an offer on it.
Oh, my word. Wow, amazing. Just, okay, yeah. So for people that are listening that are thinking about doing – you know, an asset manager loan and a refi. We'll talk about some of those things, by the way, when you're with me on Thursday. But in the meantime, I mean, there's always that fear when there's, and we don't know if there's going to be a presidential change yet or not. There's still a lot out there where I'm not going to say one way or the other. But, you know, are folks that are worried about future interest rate, you know, increases, should they get something done with you now or wait, or what are your thoughts?
You know, if you're thinking about the next, you know, 3-4 months, at least get a feel of what's going on. The rates are pretty much going to stay where they're at. But get a feel of what you kind of qualify for and have an idea so when you go out there, you can make the process a whole lot easier.
In a refi, you're probably looking at, what, 60 days to get done anyways?
Actually, I got lenders that are doing them in 30 to 40.
Oh, so nice. Yeah, that's an improvement.
Really, yeah, I got one lender that's actually less than 30. If you give me all the docs up front, we can close in 20, 25 days.
All right. So given that fact, what are rates at right now roughly?
You're still going to be down in the mid-2s.
Okay.
Mid to upper 2s on a 30-year fix, you're going to be in the low 2s. If you want to pay a little money, you could actually get under 2% on
okay.
a 15-year.
Okay, so still is a good time, folks. All right, Kurt, with that, I'll leave you. What's up tomorrow on Haystack?
We're going to be talking about health insurance and car insurance and homeowners insurance and different things that have changed and how to pay attention to make sure you're not paying for what's going on in the South with all the hurricanes, how they may raise their rates. So we're going to be talking about some
okay,
of those things.
Perfect.
Tomorrow.
Kurt, as always, I appreciate it. Thank you much, sir.
You bet. Bye-bye.
You bet. Take care. All right, that is our Monday Mortgage Minute. Give Kurt a call today, 720-895-0500. And he can help, by the way. Mighty Hand Construction's coming up next. And he can help even when it comes to getting things done around the house. And a lot of those improvements are not 100% dollar for dollar, but, man, they're close. So if you need anything done around the house, talk to Kurt, talk to Mighty Hand, get it done, get it handled, and you can use both of them to make that happen. Mighty Hand working in Northern Colorado on anything home improvement-wise. KLZradio.com or call 970-844-9191. All right, and a good shop. If you're involved in any kind of a collision with the weather being like it is, that could happen. And don't forget, we talked to Alan about this last Friday. If you're in a collision and you're blocking traffic, chances of you having a tow truck come and move you, because that's typically what the police will do, state patrol, police, local police, whatever, in that case, you can give them a good shop's address. And you can find them by just going to klzradio.com. It's the easiest thing to remember. If you're in an accident, go right to the website, look up a good shop, and have your car sent there. No place else. Don't let it go to the impound yard. Send it directly to a good shop. Again, find them at klzradio.com or call directly at 720-541-7697.
You don't want to feel like just a number. Al Sturm, owner of A Good Shop Collision Repair, offers a different experience from the corporate conglomerates. After 40 years in the auto body industry, Al has been hearing the same thing from his customers for decades. Everybody's looking for a good shop, somewhere you can find quality service in a timely manner without wondering whether or not you're being ripped off. It's hard to know what's going on when nobody will talk to you. Today, as the owner of three locations in North Glen and Commerce City, Al gives his customers exactly what they're looking for: an independent, family-owned collision repair shop where you're more than just a number. At a good shop, not only will the final product be flawless and safe, covered by a good shop lifetime guarantee, but Al and his team will actually take the time to communicate what's going on with your vehicle. Visit klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair, worth referring.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Zach Smith will join us here in just a little bit from Heritage. Well, again, we'll just talk about the legality of what's going on right now and, you know, where the election's at, where it's going through the legal process and so on. And folks, just so you all know, number one, for a lot of you that maybe don't understand this, I don't post things on my Facebook page. I have folks that actually do that for me. Not saying that I'm not in charge of some of that, but I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of days I don't even see it nor pay attention to it. So some of you accusing me of putting some falsehoods up on the Facebook page concerning election, you know, fraud and things like that. Well, first of all, we don't know what's true and what's not true at this point in time. Second of all, I'm not in charge of posting those. And as far as I'm concerned, as long as they get folks interested in talking and looking at the data and looking at things, then so be it. I'm still good with that. But when it does come to election fraud, yes, there is fraud out there. There wouldn't be lawsuits forming as we speak if there wasn't fraud. Charlie also reminded me, top of the hour, that I believe it was Hillary Clinton that continued to push Uncle Joe in August to not concede to an election of any kind. Period. No matter what. Do not concede. That was Hillary Clinton saying so. So now the shoe's on the other foot. Trump is not conceding because we don't have the right outcome in certain states. And I, for one, would tell him to do the exact same thing. If I was in his shoes, I would do the same thing. Al Gore did it back in 2000. Took 37 days to figure out who actually won that election. So don't give me this nonsense about how we just need to take it at face value and move on. That's not what we do in this country. Now, I'll say this again. I've said it. I don't know how many times I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to say it till it actually starts to happen. Why in the world we can't have a solid election in this country whereby when the last vote is cast in any district, any precinct, any polling station, whatever you want to call it, any particular area of the country, why in the world we don't know how things are within an hour of that closing is a shame. It's ridiculous, actually. We're the most technically advanced country in the world. Have the most technology at our disposal. We invent this stuff daily, literally daily. And why we can't do this better is beyond me, because we have typically governments involved in the election process. If we would get them out of the way, local governments, I should say. Like in Colorado, we've had mail-in voting since 2013. We shouldn't have mail-in voting in Colorado. I'll say it first. Shouldn't be here. No, it doesn't make more people vote. And frankly, I don't care if it does. We should vote in person, get your butt to the poll, and vote. There should be some exceptions, which there always was with absentee ballots, folks that can't get there, etc. I get it. Okay, fine. We make exceptions for those things. But in general, you should go down, cast your ballot, and be done with it. This business of mail-in voting is ridiculous. And I do believe that there's been some fraud on the mail-in votes. We'll see. Do I believe all the conspiracy theories that are out there? No, I do not. In fact, I'll go as far as to say I could be wrong. If I am, I'll eat my words. There is no sting operation being put out by the Department of Justice or anybody else internally that Trump was behind that had RFID ballots with watermarks and such on them that are going now through the system, and the National Guard's involved, and people are going to be brought down for this, and it was a big sting operation. Hogwash. No, it's not. Sorry. It's not, folks. Those of you that, and by the way, I know there's a lot of listeners that think so. I've got lots of information on that, lots of things that I've actually watched. No, not true. If it ends up being true, I'll eat my words. Gladly, I'll eat my words. But folks, I don't think that's the case. And I'll say so. And no, there's no sting operation. And there's no RFID ballots that were printed with watermarks and on we go. No, I'm sorry, folks. I don't believe that stuff. It doesn't exist. Has there been other types of fraud and you know nonsense that's gone on when it comes to voting? Yes, there has. What is it specifically? I don't know, folks. We'll find out through the courts. I don't know exactly. We're going to find out. You know, common sense would tell me that you don't take a particular election where a particular individual is leading that election, and within a matter of 2 or 3 hours after you've stopped counting, there's an automatic, you know, shoot up in that particular candidate, in this case, Biden. It's just a straight arrow up. No, it doesn't work that way, folks. Common sense tells you that's not how ballots work. Back to what Sidney Powell said earlier when I played her testimony or, you know, her opinion on this. You can't have a bunch of ballots that just have Joe Biden filled in and nothing else. That's not how people vote, folks. Common sense would tell you that. People don't vote just one person on a ballot and turn it in. No. In fact, the opposite would be more likely. And I've seen people do this. I've done this myself, not with president, but there's been candidates where I look and think, I don't like either one of them. I'm not going to vote for either one of them. Or I'm the type also, if there's a Democrat-only candidate in my district, I don't vote for them. I leave that one blank. You're more apt to see what I just said on ballots, not just Biden filled in. So folks that are out there arguing with me, even via text message, that there's no fraud and everything's hunky-dory and it's all great, and you know, give me the examples. I just played some examples for you today, and we'll determine which ones of those really are real or are not real. Is Sidney Powell correct or not? I believe she is. You know, her reputation is on the line, by the way. She's not just going to say things to say things. She's not going to come out and say there's 450,000 ballots at question if she doesn't think that's the case. She's an attorney with a name for, you know, that's made a name for herself, that's not just going to come out and say those things, folks. That's not who she is. And she's not the only one, by the way, saying this. Now, I know there's been some other individuals, none high profile, by the way. I've only seen, you know, some shadow individuals coming out talking about this quote-unquote sting operation of Trump's that's going to, you know, prove all of this, you know, misconduct throughout our voting system coast to coast. Folks, much as I wish that were true, I'm sad to say it's not going to happen. Do I believe there is some rampant problems in our voting system? Yeah, I think there has been all along, and that's why it needs fixed. It's been needed fixed for a long time. Switching gears, though. Biden came out over the weekend talking about masks. And as quote-unquote president-elect, that he would essentially work with, he knows that he can't get every governor to enact a statewide mask mandate. So what he said was he would just jump to the people that he know he can coerce into doing a mask mandate, i.e. Democrat mayors, Democrat county commissioners, Democrat health departments, and on down the line we go. So he may not be able to, for example, in South Dakota, get that state to wear a mask, but he'll do everything possible he can to subvert the governor and go around her in that case, and therefore institute a mask mandate. Joe wants to see basically a lockdown. Now, what will happen now that we know that a vaccine is coming in the not-too-distant future? It's hard to say. So what's interesting is there's someone on Twitter, by the way, who's been a huge, huge anti-Trump supporter and Biden supporter, Dr. Naomi Wolf. She tweeted out over the weekend, "If I'd known Biden was open to lockdowns, as he now states, which is something historically unprecedented in any pandemic and a terrifying practice, one that won't ever end because elites love it, I would never have voted for him." You're as dumb as a rock. I could have told you that before you voted for him. So these draconian measures that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want to institute if they indeed become president and vice president, all I'm going to say for all those that voted for them because you didn't like Trump, you get what you got coming to you. If you were really dumb enough to believe that wouldn't come out of a Biden-Harris presidency, you're as dumb as a rock, literally. And for all of you out there that voted for some third-party candidate or didn't vote for Trump at all, Biden is the guy you voted for. I'll say that again. If you voted third party or didn't vote for the president at all, you actually voted against him, and you did cast your ballot for Biden. I realize in Colorado, we're a blue state, and maybe it didn't matter whether your vote went to Trump or not. But, you know, there's some states out there where that third-party candidate, had that candidate not been around, you might very well have beaten Biden. Food for thought. So those of you that think that your third-party vote matters, I just want to tell you, it doesn't. We'll come right back. Purify Chevrolet is up next, folks. And Rolly Purifoy and the guys want to take care of you and all of your vehicle purchase needs and getting your vehicle fixed as well. Keep in mind, all of their used cars are top-notch used cars. They don't keep the junk. They let that go to the wholesale and go to auction. They only keep the good stuff and put that on the lot so you can rest assured, you know, be sure that you're going to buy a really good used car from Rolly and the gang at Purify Chevrolet. On top of that, they've got all the new Chevrolet products as well. In Fort Lupton, not much of a drive. Go to purifychevrolet.com or call 303-659-8311.
Another satisfied customer of Rolly Purifoy and his team at Purify Chevrolet.
Hi, my name's Al.
Hi, this is Kathy.
We moved out here in 82, and we needed a better pickup truck to haul my wife's horses, so we went up there, and when we bought the new Chevy pickup, we knew we could count on them to take care of her if I was on the road, which they always have. And that made my job easier, being away from home, knowing that they were there for her. In other words, if she broke down, they could come tow her in. She could go up there with a light out. They would take care of it. They're like family.
I will tell you this, when I need a ride home, they have somebody to run me home. In fact, they fight over who's going to drive me. So we've made very good friends up there over the years. Like Al says, they're like family. We walk in and it's like, hi, Kathy. Hi, Al. We'd do anything for Rolly and the family up there.
Everything we have is Purifoy, and you just couldn't ask for a better experience.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, folks, would a long-term health care event wipe out your savings? When should you file for Social Security? And can you make a certain amount when you're taking Social Security? Those are questions that, frankly, I can't answer, but Al Smith at Golden Eagle can answer for you. It's a simple phone call, 303-744-1128, or go to klzradio.com.
You have the money. Now you need a plan. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial specializes in retirement planning, teaching you how to preserve your wealth so you have enough money to last. You've already done the heavy lifting by saving diligently all of your adult life, but you still feel uncertain about what your retirement will look like. You have the money, now you need the plan. As a fiduciary advisor, Al Smith will show you how to protect your savings from unnecessary taxes, when to file for Social Security, and how to minimize risk. Unlike a stockbroker who earns a commission every time they buy or sell on your behalf, Golden Eagle Financial offers stable, long-term guidance so you know what to expect for you and your family's future. Visit klzradio.com/money to set up a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Now is the time to zero in on your target audience. So many businesses spread themselves too thin by trying to reach an enormous pool of customers. John Rush can help you define your niche, trimming the fat so you can maximize your profits. Not just surviving the shutdowns, but actually beating out your competition with smarter business strategies. You've done a good job staying afloat. Now it's time to hone in on your most profitable customers. Reach John now at RushToReason.com.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Zach Smith from Heritage joining us now. Zach, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
I appreciate it. So I've been talking through the show today, as you can imagine, about Election Day 2020, where we're at today. In my opinion, I think it's irresponsible of Joe Biden himself and even the news media to call him president-elect when we really don't have a solid outcome yet. And frankly, we may not have a solid outcome for even a few more weeks. It's hard to say. Bring us up to date on what you know along those lines.
Sure. Well, that's absolutely right. You know, the Electoral College doesn't meet until December 14th. States are not required to certify their votes until December 8th. So we still have a lot of time left in this process. And right now there's ongoing litigation in Pennsylvania, Nevada, Arizona. There were lawsuits that were filed in Michigan and Georgia as well. And so there's really still a lot of legroom to go until all of this kind of plays out.
And there's, you know, I've got folks, even Zach, that called, chatted, texted, and so on, where, you know, there's two sides to this. Some folks will say, well, there's no election fraud whatsoever. You know, show us the proof of where it's at. And then I'm on the other side saying, you know, I think that the courts will definitely do some digging, and the you know, both sides will have to bring, you know, their, you know, or at least one side, that, you know, the Trump side will have to bring proof that there actually is some either irregularities or flat out fraud. And that'll have to be discussed in the court system. Am I correct?
Well, that's absolutely right. Unfortunately, though, I will say the Trump campaign is facing an uphill battle.
They are. I've said that as well. Legal. You are correct.
And part of the reason is, you know, one, vote fraud is very difficult to detect. And then two, even when you do detect it, it's even more difficult to prove in a court of law. And so, you know, unfortunately, even if voter fraud looks like it's occurring, even if there may be, you know, even some proof of voter fraud, the other hurdle the Trump campaign will face is, unless it's so widespread, so likely to change the outcome of the election, courts are typically very reluctant to intervene and overturn any election results. And
yeah,
so again,
agreed. Agreed.
It's,
now,
it's a
now,
very
in,
difficult
in turn, though, when it comes to some of the software things that have been talked about, where, you know, certain votes are going through and they turn out a different way than what they were actually inputted, if there's widespread of that, and I'm not on the courts at all, Zach, I'm not an attorney, but I've got to believe if there's a certain amount of those and they can prove there's, you know, even several thousands of those, does that then make a difference or not?
It could potentially. And again, I think the important thing would be to be able to find proof, proven examples that they can bring to the court, bring to election authorities, and really kind of use as an impetus to do that deeper dive. You know, I think everyone's certainly aware of the December 8th deadline and are willing to work quickly to try to, you know, resolve any issues before then. But of course, those processes need to start now to try to make that happen.
Right. And I think the other thing that comes into question is not necessarily when it comes to actual ballot fraud, but I know one of the other questions, Zach, that's being brought up, and it's a question that I have, is when ballots were actually delivered. I mean, we've got some underground, you know, video, Veritas even showing, you know, granted, this is hearsay, you have to prove all of this, but, you know, when you've got whistleblowers talking about postmasters and other people in a post office stamping ballots that were mailed in late with the days before date to make sure they get counted, that, you know, that's not copacetic, Zach.
No, absolutely not. And look, even one fraudulently cast vote or one fraudulently delivered vote is troubling and needs to be fully investigated. You know, I think at the end of the day, we're all saying count every legally cast vote and exclude all of the illegally cast votes. And I think that's hopefully the goal of these lawsuits, is to try to make that a reality.
Yeah, and I think the key word there too, Zach, and this is one thing I always tried to focus on with my show, is the what you say, the legal cast vote. In other words, let's say, for example, somebody cast a vote, but they didn't get it postmarked in time. My opinion, Zach, is that's not a legally cast vote. That's an illegal vote if it gets counted.
Well, that would typically be the rule in many, many states. Unfortunately, what we've seen in states like Pennsylvania, where the state Supreme Court there unilaterally changed the rule so that unless the state can prove that it was definitively mailed after election day, that the state has to accept it. And so I think going forward, that's going to be a big problem that we have to confront our state courts, federal courts, mm-hmm. governors, unelected officials, unilaterally changing election rules on the eve of elections.
Can't do that. Well, I'm one, Zach. I wanted to get your opinion on this because you're much higher level and can see things much differently than I do, even on a nationwide basis. But, you know, frankly, it's really disappointing. At least it is for me as a voter. And I'm taking my talk show hat off, you know, my host hat off for a moment. But just as a voter, when I look at the mess that we've now basically got, and by the way, this isn't the first time this has happened coast to coast when it comes to voting. You know, we saw the same thing in the Iowa primaries. So the reality, Zach, is as a first world country, the leader of the free world, if you would, when it comes to our country, the technological advancements that we've made, the things that we can produce as a country, why we don't have, and I know there's states' rights, I get that, but why we don't have a unified system coast to coast to vote on, whereby at the end of by the time a polling precinct shuts down, we don't have an exact count at that second. Zach, I'm baffled at why we can't do that.
Well, I think there are certainly advantages and disadvantages to having the states administer the electoral process. You know, the advantage is it obviously makes it much more difficult for one individual to co-opt or corrupt the process.
Agree.
The downside is that, you know, we see places like Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, Milwaukee that clearly are having problems processing their votes.
Correct.
In a timely and efficient manner. And so I think there are certainly targeted action items that the state can take, that the Congress can take to try to ensure that they are better prepared for the next election. But again, I think a lot of this goes back to the idea that we need to have clear electoral rules set out well in advance of the election and then not change them on the eve of the election. Because that's really what created a lot of mischief this past cycle.
Well, and the other thing that happened, and I live in a state, we've been doing mail-in voting since 2013, Zach, which I will tell you straight up, I'm not a fan of. It's in our state. It is what we have here. I have to abide by that. I hate it. I don't like it. I don't think it's the right way to go. I think it's one of the most easily fraudulent methods that we've actually got of voting. I still am one that says, and my son was on earlier and we talked about this, I'm an employer. And even as an employer, Zach, I would concede the Democrats have been pushing for years to have, you know, have Election Day be a national holiday, let everybody go to the polls and vote and so on. So even as an employer, Zach, I'm willing to concede that we have all mail-in or we have all, you know, in-person voting across the country with this caveat, you must bring ID. That's where I, as an employer, would say, I'll give the day off and even pay for it, but you must show an ID to vote, and it must be in person.
Well, and I think we saw this election cycle, you know, unfortunately, many states were doing away with even those basic electoral safeguards, like requiring a photo ID, requiring signature matching on mail-in ballots. And so, again, these are serious issues that we need to address. And the other thing we also need to address, states need to make sure that their voter rolls are accurate.
Yes.
And up-to-date.
Yes, good point.
Because anytime there are mistakes in the voter rolls, it's really amplified whenever there's near universal mail-in voting. And we're seeing that right now in Nevada. There are a lot of problems, potentially, because their voter rolls are so notoriously out of date.
Yeah, and Zach, I guess ultimately, and this is what I want to get your opinion from Heritage, ultimately how I view this is if we're going to keep the republic intact and have confidence in our voting system moving forward, a lot of what you just said a moment ago, or even what combination of what you and I have said, you know, it has to happen. We've got to keep the confidence level up in the American voter, or down the road we're going to lose that part of it. In other words, if people feel like they're just going to go cast a vote and it's not going to matter because it's not going to get counted correctly and they don't even know if it's going through the system correctly and on we go, then why would they go vote in the first place?
No, that's absolutely right. And so I think moving forward, you know, the Constitution provides state legislatures, not governors, not judges, not election officials, state legislatures with the primary duty to set electoral rules and procedures. And so I think as we kind of transition out of the 2020 cycle and start looking forward to 2022, 2024, we all need to pay attention to these issues and put pressure on our state legislatures to enact clear, common sense voting rules that will protect the integrity of the process, while at the same time, setting the rules of the road and making it clear to everyone what the process and procedures will be.
And I agree with what you said earlier, too, Zach. I do think the Trump administration, the campaign itself, they do have a very large, long, arduous hill to climb up to get out of this. If they even think for a second they're going to be victorious in this. On the same token, I'm also one that says I don't think they should concede until they know all these things have been looked at. Does that mean that Donald Trump's going to be president when this is all said and done? Zach, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't answer that.
Yeah, and I don't have a crystal ball either, but I think you're exactly right. Look, President Trump is entitled to pursue these legal challenges. You know, we heard Mitch McConnell take the floor of the Senate today, basically making that same point. You know, until the electoral votes are cast on December 14th, you know, the fact is we don't officially have a president-elect yet.
No.
And so I really think it helps all of us. It helps ensure the integrity of the process. Whenever we really try to run a lot of these problematic, you know, stories to the ground, and if there is fraud, address it, prosecute those responsible, and make sure that it doesn't happen again moving forward.
What do you feel, you know, sort of in wrapping things up, Zach, what do you feel is the risk that we're in right now, where we've got the media and even the Biden campaign saying he's president-elect, when, to your and I's point, he's not? I mean, the fact of the matter is, really, the facts are, no, he's not. The proper things haven't been done yet to get him there, and yet we've got almost, you know, an entire, you know, probably half the country that believes he is. The other half of the country believes he isn't. Yet the news media, in as powerful as they are calling him that. You know, how do we deal with that? And is that doing permanent damage in another way?
Well, look, if the election results were uncontested, if President Trump had conceded already, you know, historically, it's been accepted practice to go ahead and start calling the presumptive president the president-elect. But if we think back 20 years to the 2000 election, think of how silly it would have been if the media had started calling Al Gore President-elect Gore when we all know the outcome of that election. And so I think a little caution here, letting the process play out, would certainly be beneficial to all of us as a country.
Well, we don't really have that in news media anymore, though, Zach, unfortunately, as we've all known. In fact, I will tell you that I don't think we have news media. We have media that weighs heavily upon topics, and they slant it in a direction that they would like to see the outcome be. But, Zach, I hate to say we no longer have news.
Well, you know, I think the thing I can say is, you know, I think President Trump in this instance is well within his rights to pursue these legal challenges. He should aggressively, you know, see if there's any voter fraud, come forward with the evidence of voter fraud, and again, try to make sure that every legal vote cast is counted and that any illegal votes are excluded.
Right.
And again, you know, regardless of the number that turns out to be, I think it's good for us as a country and good for us to ensure the integrity of our election process.
One last thing I want to add is, I've heard some leaders in some states' precincts and other places say, there's not a shred of evidence. You know, these lawsuits are frivolous. There's not a shred of evidence. Well, Zach, you and I both know that when it comes to those types of lawsuits, they don't have to show the evidence on the front side. That's what the lawsuit does, correct?
Well, and if you look in one of the lawsuits, you know, there's sworn affidavit, a sworn testimony from someone basically alleging a variety of, you know, very troubling improprieties. And so if those allegations, in fact, turn out to be true, you know, I think, again, they need to be run to the ground, and we need to find out exactly what has happened here.
Yeah, well said. Oh, perfect. Zach, how can folks learn more about you and what's going on at Heritage?
Sure. If you'd like to follow me, I'm on Twitter at TZ Smith, or you can go to heritage.org and see articles that I've written, as well as the great work that all of my colleagues at Heritage are doing as well.
Always a joy having you guys, Zach. I appreciate it very much. Keep up the great work, sir.
Thanks so much.
You
Take
bet.
Care.
Take care. All right. Extreme Auto Repair, folks, coming up next. And Extreme, right now, today is the last deal for, or the last day for the tire deal with that rebate on Cooper tires. They probably are closed now, so if you want that deal, chances are it may have passed. You could call tomorrow, though, and find out. If you find yourself in need of tires, please ask. On the same token, they do sell Cooper tires at cost on a daily basis. So go to extremeautorepair.com, or better yet, klzradio.com, or call them at 303-841-1071.
You never enjoy going to the dealership for maintenance because you always get the runaround. You'd much rather give your business to a local independent shop, but you assume you have to go back to the dealership to maintain your service contract. You bought the vehicle there, so you need to get it maintained there too, right? Wrong! Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will honor almost all service contracts. You pay your deductible just like you would at the dealership, and Extreme Auto Repair does the work. Two-time AAA award-winning Shop of the Year, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker does their best to make your life easier by offering everything you need to maintain your vehicle for as long as you drive it. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/extreme to find out whether or not Extreme Auto Repair will honor your dealership service contract. Promises kept.
All right, fleshing back, folks, and we're talking about legal stuff with the challenges going on right now with the election and so on. And no, that's not what Kevin does, but he'll help you in every other area when it comes to your world, your legal world, especially whether you've been involved in an accident, maybe it's been, you're not getting what you need out of the insurance company, they're not making you whole, whatever the case, that's where Kevin comes into play. Give him a call today at 303-806-8886 or find him at fleshlawfirm.com, and that's FLESCH.
The hard part of my job is getting the case ready for trial. The really fun part of my job is going to trial.
Call the personal injury attorney who enjoys going to trial, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law.
The thing that people need to do when they're talking with lawyers about trials, ask the lawyer that they're talking to whether they like to go to trial or not.
Although most personal injury cases settle outside of the courtroom, you want an attorney who stands ready to represent you at trial.
The reason that we say trial tested, trial ready is because we do enough cases that we are always ready. And it's like anything else. You ride a bike or, you shoot trap. If you do it often, you're still in good regular practice on it. If you do it once a year, not so much.
Trial tested, trial ready. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh. Call today for a free, no obligation consultation. 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results. You know you ought to take a second look at your home and auto insurance because premiums keep going up, but you haven't set aside the time. Let Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts help you for free. Make one free phone call today to review your plan. 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And much like Zach just said from Heritage, by the way, folks, when it comes to all of the things that are going on in regards to the election and some of the lawsuits and so on, guys, honestly, I don't know. I can't say how those things are going to turn out. I don't know how much fraud is actually there. I don't know if the 450,000 plus votes that Sidney Powell was talking about, I don't know what's going to happen on some of those situations. There's some claims about, software and changing votes and a lot of those programs having algorithms built in to watch what was happening and change votes accordingly. Folks, I don't know. I can't answer whether those things are real or not. What I will tell you is the courts will. Whether or not that changes anything and changes the outcome of where we're at right now, I have no idea. But I do know this, much like Zach just said a moment ago, I want to know. And I do want to know if those things did in fact happen. If they didn't, so be it. We move along. Joe Biden's president. If, on this other hand, he didn't win fair and square, then Donald Trump needs to be president. It's as simple as that, folks. And for those of you that are texting me asking me for proof of individual situations when it comes to fraud, sorry. Really? That's what you're asking? They're, until this goes through the courts, no one's going to have that proof. You just heard Zach talk a moment ago about some of these lawsuits having some actual tangible proof on the front side to get the lawsuit started. I don't have that information in front of me, nor frankly do I care. It doesn't change the outcome of anything. People that are a lot smarter and sharper than me have figured out that there's evidently some improprieties that have gone on, enough so that they're spending the time, effort, and money to challenge the election results in a lot of states, in a lot of counties across this country. If they didn't feel like there were improprieties there, I don't think they'd be fighting it. There's too much time, too much energy, too much money that's being spent on these if they didn't think there was something worth fighting for. I'll leave it at that. Outside of that, I don't have the foggiest idea where the fraud is or isn't across this country. I do know that I've got some folks that I know personally that experienced the Sharpie thing that everybody claims doesn't really exist. The left will tell you that didn't happen. Well, I've got a particular individual I know firsthand that says, yes, it did, that was there, that saw it. I wasn't there. I didn't see it for myself, so I can't tell you specifically if that happened, but I've got individuals that I know that saw it that said specifically that it did. That's all I can go off of, folks. Outside of that, all I can tell you is it's being challenged. Those are the facts. Do I agree with the challenges? Yes. If they feel like there's something there worth challenging, just like Al Gore back in 2000 felt like there was something to challenge, if the other side thinks there's a challenge, then we have a system whereby that challenge needs to be accepted, met, and handled. That goes with any election, any time, any place, anywhere in the United States of America, no matter who's bringing it. Independent, third party, libertarian, Republican, Democrat, doesn't make any difference. If somebody doesn't feel like the election went a particular way and they feel like there was fraud and they've got the ability to file a lawsuit and challenge it, so be it. That's the system we live in, folks. No different than if one of you out there driving had an accident caused by somebody else and you felt like you needed to sue to get your damages resolved, like I just talked about with Kevin Flesh a moment ago. If that were the case, then I would tell you you're well within your power to go sue and start a case. That's the United States of America, folks. That's the rule of law. That's where we live. If we do away with that and we just all of a sudden say, oh, you got to accept the results the way they are. No, folks, that's not the system we live in. And by the way, I would say the same thing if it was Joe Biden on the other side of the fence. And yes, I would say that. In 2016, did Hillary Clinton challenge it? I don't think there was anything to challenge. She knew there wasn't a snowball's chance she was going to win those electoral votes that she was lost. It wasn't as close as it is now, folks. Why would Hillary have challenged it in 2016? But here's the deal. Had it been this close and Hillary had been where Trump is today and she'd challenged it, I would have said, okay, fine, challenge it. Go ahead. We'll see what the courts say. I have no problem with that, folks. That's the rule of law. That's the United States of America. That's where we live. And if we ever get away from that, we have even bigger problems. Even bigger problems. But like I said earlier, which I never really got a great answer even through text messages on, is, you know, what did all of you lose with Trump being president? Because I keep hearing about healing the country, bringing it back together, blah, 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 blah. Folks, Trump didn't divide it. Conservatives didn't divide it. The conservatives weren't the ones crying and yelling and screaming in their basement or in their car when something didn't go the way they thought it should the last election. The left did that. When Obama won twice, you didn't see Republicans running around screaming in their car, having fits, having nervous breakdowns and the like, rioting in the streets, burning cities down and so on. Somebody also said today, and I can't say as I can disagree with this, that do you suppose all of the riots and the things that went on leading up to the election had an effect upon people voting for Joe Biden because they were just tired of those riots and they were afraid that if Trump won, you'd see more of them. So just out of sheer fear, they voted for Biden. I would say this particular gentleman that emailed me is correct. Yes, I would agree with him. Yes, I do think that happened. To what extent? I don't know. Let me just say this. The left, to their credit, knows how to win. And they know how to win at all costs. If it means burning a city down, they don't care. If it means cheating on election day, they don't care. If it means discrediting the other candidate and suppressing information, they don't care. If it means using a virus to their benefit, they don't care. To their credit, they will do anything they possibly can to win, and they're good at it. I will give them credit there. They do a better job of winning than we conservatives do. Why? Because they don't care what it takes to win. Unfortunately, we do. Or fortunately, I should say, we do. We conservatives look at it a little bit differently. Maybe we should be more like them. Maybe we should be more ruthless like they are. We're not. Sorry, folks, we're just not. That's not how we're made. The left, though, they don't care. They will win at all costs. And they don't care who they step on, who they trample, and what it takes to get there. And or how much money they have to pour into a particular race to do so. There's another theory out that the left kept Joe in the basement this entire time to make it look like he was a lot more senile and people would feel sorry for him, that he's not really as senile and really isn't as out there as folks would maybe think he is. And frankly, I hope they're correct, because that means Kamala doesn't have any chance of entering the presidency the next 4 years if Joe Biden is, in fact, our next president. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Enchanted Kitchens is next, folks. You heard from Neil earlier from Enchanted Kitchens that, hey, get in there, get things done, get them rolling. They are busy. They are hiring another design person right now to help with how busy they are. Get your kitchen design now. They can do that for you. It's enchantedkitchens.net, or find them at klzradio.com, or you can call direct at 303-376-7588.
You need to stand in your new kitchen to know what works. You have some ideas based on pictures you found online, but you've never actually seen, touched, or felt the counters and cabinets that will become part of your daily life. The Enchanted Kitchens design team built their experience center with you in mind, so you could feel at home, only better, giving you the chance to visualize your new kitchen ahead of time. I'm Marie Christine with Crawford Broadcasting, and I'm over 5'10". I spend a lot of time bending over my countertops at home. The first time I visited the award-winning showroom at Enchanted Kitchens, I stood next to a countertop that reached my waist. Suddenly, I could imagine standing up straight to cook. As a Rush to Reason listener, the design team at Enchanted Kitchens will meet with you for free in their Experience Center to help you solidify your vision of a kitchen design that works. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. That's about going to do it for us today. Myself, Charlie, we appreciate you joining us tomorrow. Jordan Goodman will join us in the 3 o'clock hour with he's America's Money Answer Man. Of course, we'll get an update on what's happening stock market-wise and his input on where we're at. And it'll be interesting to talk to Jordan tomorrow for sure. John Zmarek also will join us, along with Liz Mayer. And Scott Garlis will join us. He is actually going to talk about how stocks, also along with Jordan Goodman, how stocks are going to respond to what's happening next in regards to the presidential election. So we'll be back tomorrow. If you missed the first hour, catch it next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.